I did two different events at the World Science Festival. The first event was called A Night by the Fire. It was held at the State Library at Kurrendagan, and it's literally what it sounds like. It was a night by the fire. Basically having a yarn with about 30 people for over an hour, just about myself and my experience as an Indigenous woman going into something like physics and the experiences that I had, but also sharing some of my Indigenous astronomy knowledge as well. So that was the first event. It was fantastic. I really enjoyed it. And the second event was kind of more along the lines of a World Science Festival event. So it was a panel of, there were three of us, and the discussion topic was about Indigenous astronomy and about, so like, song lines and how our highways, like our modern day highways that we use, a little bit about our experiences in Indigenous astronomy. And I was joined with Indigenous astronomer Dr. Dwayne Hamika, and an incredible leader and someone I really look up to, Uncle Giller, Michael Anderson. So, yeah, I was on the stage with these two incredibly well-established, well-achieved people, yeah, talking about Indigenous astronomy.
Lovely. So Indigenous astronomy, what details are there with Indigenous astronomy?
Sure. So I guess there's two kind of ways that Indigenous astronomy is approached. So there's the very academic perspective. So this is kind of the approach that Dr. Dwayne Hamika takes. And he's at Monash University, and he's spent basically his academic life researching different dreaming about the sky and the stars and the planets and all that type of thing, and what the underlying messages were in these dreamings, and then kind of compares that to the astronomy that, you know, we study in our textbooks, and I guess draws correlations between the two. So that's one approach to Indigenous astronomy. I guess the other approach is the traditional, you know, storytelling approach, which is, I guess, something that someone like Giller, Michael Anderson, would do. You know, he's been passed down stories and dreamings from his elders, and then he passes them on to people. So, yeah, I guess it seems like a subtle distinction, but it's actually huge in terms of, like, with studying it in academia, there are no rules. Like, you just find out as much information as you can. But if you're doing it from, I must say, that's definitely the case when you're studying colonial records of these dreamings, mm-hmm. these astronomy dreamings. But, you know, if you're getting a story from an elder, like Giller, Uncle Giller, you know, you know that you're allowed to hear that story, and it's appropriate for you to hear that story, and there's no, you know, you're not being told women's business if you're a man and stuff like that. So I guess there's just this extra layer of law that comes into play when it's, I guess, a cultural storytelling.
So how important is it to share our culture with Indigenous astronomy?
Oh, I think it's incredibly important. I think we have such a wealth of knowledge that's not seen like that, I guess. Not by everyone, at least. I think, you know, when we talk about something like physics, it has huge respect in all communities. You know, physics and science is this amazing thing. But that's not necessarily given to Indigenous astronomy. And there's no reason for that. You know, there is just as much complexity and just as much, you know, knowledge in Indigenous knowledge and Indigenous astronomy. And I think it's really important that we celebrate that from a knowledge point of view, but also from a cultural point of view, because that knowledge is you know, intertwined with our culture. Mm. And, you know, as long as it's appropriate, you know, I don't think there's any harm in sharing that. I think it also helps non-Indigenous Australians kind of connect a little bit more with Indigenous Australians. you know, they both studied the stars, and it's just a way that we can connect with each other. So yeah, I think it's incredibly important for many reasons.
Definitely. So in your bio, you've described yourself as a science clown. So what's your favourite experiment? Have you done any explosions?
I've done many explosions. So I worked for a long time as a science communicator, and still do, and absolutely love it. So that involved me going out to schools and doing explosions and really cool experiments, you know, liquid nitrogen and setting household objects on fire, but in a safe, scientific way. So yeah, I guess that's kind of trying to make science entertaining. And there's this really awesome descriptor that my science communicator mentor told me, and it's to be educational and entertaining at the same time. That's where my science clown comes from.
Wow. Last question. What would you say to other young aspiring scientists out there?
Oh, just do it. Like, I'm honestly so proud of you for making that step, for being like, hey, I'm really interested in this thing. Maybe I should pursue it. That is the hardest step. Like, the rest of it just falls into place. You just have to make that choice. You know, this is something I'm passionate about. It's something I want to study. That's the hard step. Once you get there, it's easy. Like, it's fine. Totally do it. Just go for it.
Lovely. Thank you so much for joining us today, Carly.
No worries. Thank you, Crystal.